Good evening, James McKinney here with My Science Hour. This is for September 12, 2019, and yesterday, of course, was the day like the attack on Pearl Harbor, which would live, that would go down in infamy as, FDR said, remember the famous speech in front of Congress where he demanded that the United States declare war on Japan, and it basically threw United States into World War II, along with Germany and everybody else. So anyway, that was the impetus, which we now know Roosevelt knew all about. It was a planned event, and they wanted to. Japan was a building military power. I'm not going to go into all of that, but 9/11. Was a similar event. It was a planned event to take the United States into wars, which had been planned, the whole strategy had been planned years earlier, which included taking down basically seven countries in the Mideast, all of which subsequently happened. And so anyway, I was on John Moore's show yesterday morning and then also on the Power Hour for an hour and a half. They invited me on for an hour and a half instead of my usual hour, which is the second Wednesday of every month. I'm on the Power Hour with Daniel Brigman. And they invited me on a half an hour early to discuss the 9/11 event, which we got into. So I'm not going to repeat that information on this show. So I highly recommend that you go listen to those. They were planned interviews. There was planned content. I also talked about China and the China expanding militarily and economically, using economic might, in a sense, to do something that Japan was doing. Japan was reaching out prior to World War II and literally attacked China. They were going to take over China. And then Japan moved out into the Pacific Islands, started taking those over. That was the attack on Pearl Harbor, was a strategic move that if the United States did not have a base there, they would have no place to put their fleet. And so that was the purpose of sinking all of our ships, which had just arrived there. And so Roosevelt knew that to get the United States into World War II, he needed some major event, and of course the bombing of Pearl Harbor was that event. 9/11 was the event that would bring the United States into a series of conflicts that would basically destabilize the Mideast and follow a plan, basically Israel's plan, of taking down all their neighboring countries, which has happened, by the way. And so anyway, yeah, like I say, I'm not going to go through all of that detail on this show. So listen to those shows. Once again, it's September 11th, the John Moore Show, first hour, and then the Power Hour, the second half of the first hour, and the full second hour of the Power Hour on 9/11. That's with Daniel Brigman. And also, be careful, it's GNC Live is the... Power Hour Nation with Daniel Brigman. There's another show on that's called The Power Hour Live, and that basically took over the name of the show on GCN. And Daniel is now broadcasting on a different network. So anyway, some political maneuvering there to try and basically cover up that show and divert its audience. But I highly recommend you listen to those. As I said, I will not repeat that on this show. Tonight I'll be talking about, there's a whole myriad of topics that I have tonight, not the least of which is talking about energy and how you make energy calculations if you're putting in or thinking about putting in solar or wind energy or things like that. And then I'll be talking about the Wing Generator, my product currently being marketed, and how that compares and what they're really apples to oranges. So how do you make a comparison? I'll be talking about that with real numbers. So rather educational, that's coming up. But one thing I need a segue here to clarify. I didn't have enough time yesterday on the Power Hour show, but I made a quick comment, and Daniel jumped back on it. He says, whoa, this is very important. My comment was that in the world of disinformation, now understand, you as the public are being flooded by disinformation. You're being, in when, say, for example, politicians say things, especially Democrats, this, what they're saying is canned. Somebody is telling them, this is what you say. So when they say Medicare for all, they're all in favor of that, but it has nothing to do with getting medical care for all people. It has to do with breaking down the private health care industry and nationalizing it into a government-controlled program where they own your body. So all of a sudden, they would come out and say, oh, there's a national threat of some kind of, like, say, SARS or something like that. They would then have everybody, would be mandatory that you would go get a shot. And then in your shot would be a little chip that goes in your body, and along comes 5G, and you would be living, literally being monitored 24/7, every component of your life, everything you say, every time you got in or out of your car, every place you went, they could control you. You would be absolutely a government-controlled entity. That is the purpose of universal health care. Not for you to get health care, because if you look at the countries that have universal health care, it sounds very nice, but in Canada, many people die before they get the health care they need waiting in line. It takes 3 months to get an x-ray. It sometimes can take up to 6 months for a simple doctor's appointment. That's what happens because the medical people leave. There's no incentive for a medical person, especially a high-quality one. There's no incentive for them to be in a system where they don't make any money. They don't have any control over what they do, and there's just long lines of people standing outside their door. It doesn't, there's no benefit, so the people in the medical industry simply leave. And so, at any rate, that's why medicine in many third world countries is much better than it is in the United States. The United States is way down the line in medical care. But anyway, I made a statement about disinformation. I was just giving an example of disinformation, how it's fed to you, the public, as the best thing since sliced bread. So anyway, I made a statement that in the disinformation world, now understand there are think tanks out there that create disinformation programs. And in creating a disinformation program, they create the official government story that they want everybody to believe. But they know that there are intelligent people out there like myself or people like James Fitzer or Richard Gage or other people who would then study the government story and find all the disinformation and the false facts. So they know there are people like that. So what they do in their disinformation program is they create the opposite narrative. They create it. And so that's so that they can then hold that up. And I'll just give you some examples. Let's say NASA going to the moon. NASA has its official story, which is an unverified scientific claim. And so then they create a bunch of nutcases. And a lot of times these are regular people who are out there jumping up and down. And they come in, and under the table, they start supporting these people. They start supporting their YouTube channel. They start getting them on radio shows. And, for example, my work, whether it's dealing with weather modification or whether it's the electric universe or whatever it is, they create and duplicate and try and copy my work, but do a very, it's a on purpose, a very bogus job. And then they set that up and they put a lot of money into it. And I want to explain how is this process of the creating the other side of a story. It might be, for example, the disclosure movement for the government to disclose aliens and what the government knows about aliens. So the disinformation, and by the way, this is primarily run in top down out of the CIA. Their job, one of the jobs of the CIA, besides all of the nefarious things they do in the background, like drug trafficking and human trafficking, where they make huge amounts of money, and they launder it through companies like Google and Facebook and InQtel, their investment firm. What they do is create a second side of the story. So let's take a look at, for example, the disclosure movement, completely controlled by the government. And so what you see is a person, and I'm not going to name names. You can go out and find these names easily on the internet. And they're the people that stand up to the government. They're in charge of the anti-government movement to have disclosure. They have court cases that come up. They have people sending them contributions. And under the table, they're getting a lot of money. So you find these people that are selected to be, say, head of the disclosure movement. And they're totally bought and paid for government agents. But they're representing the other side. So let's take geoengineering. And there again, I've worked in geoengineering, literally real world of geoengineering, understanding it, designing the systems that were designed to use laser satellites to drag the hurricanes out of harm's way. And then that system was absconded with by the U.S. military, the deep state, and that's who's controlling the hurricanes right now. For example, Hurricane Dorian was a very controlled hurricane. But as I said, on the other side of this, they know that I'm going to be out there trying to tell the public about how hurricane control works. So they create a duplicate site, one of them being, I'm not going to mention names, just go out there and find them. And there are certain characteristics that you can recognize these. And this is my point, that you probably say, well, how would I, as a common person, recognize these? Well, I'm going to tell you how to recognize them. First of all, and probably most of you would not understand the history of these, but let's take a site called geoengineeringwatch.org, started in around 2010. And all of a sudden, here I had been working in this industry for decades earlier, going on radio shows back in the old days with Alex Jones, with Alex Merklinger, and other hosts, a whole series of hosts talking about chemtrail sprays and what the studies were done and what we understood about chemtrail spraying. All of a sudden in 2010, emerges a person with no background at all in geoengineering, and his host is just skyrocketed to prominence in this field, spewing out. And what they do is, there's an old saying, if you want to catch fish, you need good bait. So a disinformation site has good bait, and most people are fooled by it. But here are some of the characteristics on how to understand a false placement of a site like geoengineeringwatch.org. It gets promoted instantly into national and international fame. The person, this rapid rise to fame is almost magical. Then their name becomes common in all the news articles, especially in the mainstream media, which is total disinformation, and in the fake science information news. They're quoted. If they want an opposition, that's the person they refer to. So this amazing rise to fame, which overtakes the anti-industry, in other words, in this case, people trying to demand that the government pull down their pants about geoengineering and chemtrails, etc. So it looks all really holier than thou, but it's not. And under the table, there's a lot of money being funneled into these particular people and groups. So you see very highly refined YouTube videos, for example, and they get promoted. When you search on geoengineering, that's what pops up. It's a Google search is working with these. And so they become known as the person that's fighting the government. They're in there all over the place, and they're going to represent you, the people. And so people are fooled. But another way you can tell is when they get these rave reviews. Everything is a rave review. That these people are saints. They're fighting the government on your behalf. And the other thing is no visible means of support. Where are these people getting the money to fly around the world, hold conferences, and promote themselves? Well, this is all money that's coming in under the table. And a lot of times, these people don't even know it. They just think that there's people out there supporting their work. So it's a very clean system of disinformation for the CIA. Then they have handlers. They have handlers that are feeding them information which they want the public to be diverted. Now, let's take an example. The real story on weather modification for hurricanes is, I've worked with Russian scientists on this. We developed the systems to drag hurricanes out of harm's way, and so there would not be any more hurricane damage. And look at the President of the United States. It's impossible to get this information to him, because he's surrounded by people who are basically agents of the disinformation state. So here we got the President of the United States grabbing for straws, trying to figure out what you could do about hurricanes, and you can't get this information to him. So anyway, then the people with the planted disinformation, the opposite side, the planted opposition, come along and say, there's a radio tower in Florida that's pushing the Hurricane Dorian back to the Bahamas. Total disinformation, has no scientific merit at all, but this is what gets promoted. And so that's where the handlers come in. Somebody is pushing this information onto a completely scientifically stupid person to promote this information, and they probably think they're doing a good job. But what they're doing is promoting a planned disinformation program, taking the money that's coming to them. Now, what's their viewpoint from the world? Though there's foundations that are funding their work, there are people, there are individuals sending them money. But if you look at the money trail, that money doesn't come to me. I'm out there fighting too for real scientific understanding of weather control. Not the bogus scientific control of or engineering control of weather that's being pawned off by these groups. So this is disinformation. So they're passing off bogus science. As I said, if you want to catch fish, you need good bait. So mixed in there is some real science. But it's stuff they don't care about. They don't care if you know about chemtrails or not. And you'll notice that it's very partial information. The information that I was dealing with back in the early 2000s with people like Lloyd Pye and other people on the internet and on radio shows, we knew what was in chemtrails. We knew what they were doing and why. None of that comes out now with these new nouveau anti-government websites. So there again, you get a very partial view of the world. And now let me explain this in other terms, which I think most of you can understand. I call this the boy band effect. And so let's look at a boy band. Remember that, you know, pre-boy band days, individual bands, etc., were basically talent that grew up. You know, maybe people started as a garage band and they got good. They just had a lot of talent and, you know, eventually got record contracts. And then the record industry realized that they could create a band by going out and soliciting. In fact, this happens in politics right now. The people like the bubble-headed chick from New York is an actress. And she acts. She reads scripts. And so a boy band is a band that was created by a producer. The producer went out and did auditions, got together people that would never have gotten together in a million years. And so these are people that had talent, but they put a lot of money behind them. They had songwriters, they had producers, they had a lot of talent behind these people. And so they created a band, and then they promoted the band. They put them on tours all over, and the young kids went crazy. And the term came up, boy band, which is, means all of these things together. So the the whole concept of producing a band out of nothing and then promoting it and then making massive amounts of money off of this, I call it the same effect. That you take a topic, whether it's the disclosure movement, whether it's 9/11, or how the buildings came down in 9/11, or you take weather modification and geoengineering, or you take the electric universe, or you take any of these topics, and I could go on, that these are the sites that are being promoted and created out of thin air are basically boy bands. The same thing. They take a person with a, you know, that looks good in public, can speak in public, and they just put all of this promotion into them. Videos, high-end production for YouTube videos, conferences, international conferences. They even create awards to give to them. And out of thin air, awards that never existed before, all of a sudden they're giving these people so that they have awards. And they're bogus. I mean, the people see, like people like myself see this, and then you know that your work is being absconded with by people that are complete charlatans. But you, the public, don't see this. You think, oh, this guy's really fighting for us, for disclosure, for information on 9/11, for weather modification, geoengineering, for the electric universe. Then you don't realize that these people are being promoted to basically take these entire topics and abscond with them so that the real researchers never surface. So anyway, on the Power Hour yesterday, I made a short statement about this, and Daniel Brigman said, whoa, hey, wait a minute, let's go back and talk about this. And so basically, I went into a mini discussion, but I wanted to expand on that on this show. And one of the other telltale signs is that they don't ever reference anybody else except themselves. It's like they're the sole information source. That's how they're being promoted. Like these are the top people in the field. And after 4 or 5 years of this, then, say, a guy writing an article in a magazine comes along. This just happened, for example, with the control of Hurricane Dorian. And I think most people will agree that a hurricane like that cannot just sit over the Bahamas for 4 days. It's ridiculous. That was a very controlled storm. You could see the laser satellites pulling it back and pulling it back and pulling it back. But then some guy, Yo-Yo, a guy who doesn't, he thinks he's a hard-hitting news reporter, comes out and writes an article. Well, he goes and he researches the field, and guess what? He goes to the disinformation source that was created, one of these created boy band sources. And he thinks, oh, this guy's been around for a long time. He's considered the authority in this area. And then he writes an article producing exactly the disinformation that came out of the CIA to dissuade you, the public, from understanding the real issue. Okay, so what do you get? You get an article saying that radio towers in Florida somehow affected Hurricane Dorian. Completely bogus science. Doesn't make any sense. Couldn't possibly be true. But that's what you get. And then when the idiot journalist is confronted on this, he gets real defensive. Like, I researched this guy. I researched it. I vetted him. And then he goes huffing away in a huff because somebody's attacking his credibility, which he thinks he's credible. But what he's really been done is been totally duped by a government disinformation program. And then you, the unsuspecting public, is reading this, and you're getting duped because a journalist is being duped by, and even the guy, and this is the point I made clear also, that the people that are being controlled and part of this disinformation program don't even know that they're being duped. They just think that they're popular, everybody loves them, people are just giving them money, big amounts of money, setting them up on international conferences, flying them all over the world, because they're special, because they're smart, because they're hard-hitting. They don't even know they're being used. So anyway, for me, sitting on the sidelines to see this, you know, and then you go to their webpage or to this article, and you get these rave reviews. Oh, isn't he a saint? This guy is next to sainthood, you know. This is, the blogs are created and fabricated to make it look like these people are next to God. So this, and I have to explain this because this is going on all the time. In the world of 9/11, 9/11 disclosure, 9/11 examining, there are people who are real, like my friend Jim Fetzer or Richard Gage or Bolin or any of these other people who are real researchers trying to get to real answers. But then you get the government disinformation 9/11 opposition, who come out and totally divert the topic with bogus science, things that don't make any sense at all, but divert the real issues. And they then are prompted, they're put on radio shows, their name appears every place. And what is it doing? It diverts the topic. The real topic of 9/11 is we should be examining who did this. Academicians are fighting over minor points on how the buildings came down, bickering back and forth. Well, you know, we all know that the airplanes didn't do it. Anybody with half a brain would know that. Yet, then you have the disinformation people coming out trying to create all kinds of bogus ways that the buildings came down, diverting the topic and spending all kinds of airtime when the real topic is, who did this? We got to get an investigation. After 18 years, there's no resolution on who really did this. Clearly the Bushes, the Clintons were involved. Clearly the Mossad, the CIA was central to this. The CIA has been pulling things like this since the Kennedy assassination. You know, so anyway, a little bit of diversion from my normal topics tonight, but I had to get off on this topic of fake opposition news, fake opposition characters, fake opposition websites, fake opposition support for fake websites, and the people who are pawns in this that don't even know that they think that they're somehow doing great work, don't even know that they have handlers and people manipulating them to put out false information. Just another quip here that in talking to people, I talk to a lot of people, and they're citizens, you know, and just regular people, and they're not trained scientists, etc. And I've come to the conclusion that the success of nutcase science like the flat earth or the any other bananas things that are out there today, the success of bad, incorrect science is related to the fact that people don't trust NASA. People do not trust anything that NASA says. Never a straight answer. You know, I would say that of thinking people, close to 100% of them don't trust anything NASA says. But what does that do? That opens up the door for a lot of nutcase science. And there again, the same people that support NASA go out and support people that are absconding with my ideas, say, about the electric universe. Why? Because then they don't have to talk about James McCaney. All they talk about is all this other bogus stuff that's off the wall. So they take electric universe, which is a legitimate topic, and create a bunch of nutcases running around, jumping up and down, that are not scientists. They don't have any information. And you, the public, is you're offered this and you're consuming it. not knowing that you're being totally diverted from the real issues. So anyway, the public is aware that NASA never a straight answer, but then that opens the door for all this other nutcase stuff out there, which you're being bombarded by on a daily basis. Just say one comment about Hurricane Dorian. It was a controlled manipulated storm, and it was done, as with the other hurricanes, to clear out the population of those islands, which it successfully has done. The people are leaving the Bahamas in droves, and they'll end up scattered to the four winds, most of them never returning. Why is that? Because China wants the Bahamas. They're a strategic set of islands in their program. Who's controlling? Are the Chinese controlling the hurricanes? No, it's being done by the deep state military in the United States, who's coupled with China. And so anyway, there are forces within the United States. Let me just explain it this way. There's two military groups in the United States, those that are loyal to the United States and those that are selling it down the tubes. And so the carryover military and control of the laser satellites, etc., and this is all tier one level, very classified, very isolated, they are in control of the laser satellites and controlling hurricanes. Just to give you an example, they did this, the same thing that happened to the Bahamas, happened to an island called Vanuatu. It's a little island nation in the South Pacific, where the Chinese came in, basically built a big port, which is completely out of place, and then the island was attacked by a monster typhoon and obliterated the population of the island. And, you know, here's another piece of disinformation. In the Bahamas, when they say, 12 dead, no, there's tens of thousands of people dead in the Bahamas. They don't even know. The people are leaving. They're trying to get a count on dead people from the people who are still living. Like, is your aunt dead? Is your mother, sisters, you know, who's missing? Because they don't even know, because most of them probably were washed out to sea. So the people that are left there are, you know, they had a 20-foot surge come over there. This is a mound of sand in the middle of the ocean. And so a lot of these people probably were washed out to sea, and they will never, ever know. But when the news media says, 30 dead, no, there are tens of thousands of people dead. And there's the fake news media covering for this entire operation of depopulating the Bahamas for the Chinese movement. The Chinese have moved into the South Pacific Islands with economic power. They're taking over Australia. They're taking over the South Pacific Islands. They're taking over, for example, in Hawaii, they're taking over Honolulu. They're buying up all the property economically. They're doing what Japan tried to do militarily, China is doing economically. And they're coming in with individuals, buying up vast amounts of property in Washington, Oregon, California, and that effect is affecting house prices all the way through the Midwest to the East Coast. Prices of housing are skyrocketing, so you find homeless people can't afford to pay rent, you know, $3,000-$4,000 a month for rent. And so it's just driving the white population, the native population, out of those states. And this is affecting the rest of the country. Part of, there's many factors here, but a big push of because of this housing crisis is that there's a shortage of housing, and the Chinese are buying up vast amounts of housing in these places. You can't buy a house for less than $1 million, little two-bedroom house that you know, you can open your window and talk to your neighbor through the open window because they're so close, $1 million, $1.5 million. Now, who can afford that working at McDonald's, you know, making $24,000 a year on some job? I mean, the economy is so out of whack, but it's being caused by the influx of investment from China. So they have made no mistake about it. They are intent on taking over the world. And they are in the process. They have a plan. They're also taking over outer space. The United States is so far behind in outer space, they will probably never catch up with the Chinese. And this is one of the great disasters of NASA, is that they have squandered our space resources trying to pretend like they're going to get a man to Mars someday in the next, after 20 years. NASA has squandered our national resource called outer space and government outer space investment. Trillions of dollars have squandered, and we have nothing to show for it, while the Chinese and Japanese are racing, and Russia has been far ahead of us for decades, into outer space. So anyway, with that said, I'm going to switch gears here, and I'm going to talk about how to calculate energy. And so this is important because a lot of people are being fed a line that if you put solar panels on your house, somehow you're going to have your energy bill reduced. And after it's installed, mostly, many times, these installation companies are temporary or purchased, they're bought out, and or change hands or go bankrupt or whatever. And the people are left with, there are people that are mortgaging their houses thinking that they're going to have residual income for their retirement by putting solar panels on their house. And it's just not true. Solar panels are a horrific investment. If you have extra money and you want to be green, well, that's one thing, but there's no payback. You will never, ever pay for your solar panels because of the amount of energy they produce or save you. It's simply not going to happen. So what I want to do here is compare the wing generator, which, by the way, here's the, if you're living in a suburban area or something like that, you will not be able to put a wing generator on your house like you can solar panels. That's one reason that the power companies are pushing solar panels, is because it's you know, you put it on there. There's some states that are requiring all new housing to have solar panels. But the reason is this is being pushed because it'll never compete against the central power company in a million years. So anyway, let's go back to what will solar panels do. And to discuss this, I'll use some round numbers. And to do this, you have to understand certain parameters or values or metrics of the energy industry. So let's just start with the average house. The average house will use around 1,000 kilowatt hours per month of energy. Let's just use that. It's actually a little bit more than that, but I'm going to use round numbers so that we make this easy. So what's a kilowatt hour? If you look on your electric bill, you will see a number of things. You'll see the total, how much do you pay per month. You'll see some fees. There might be some extra excess energy fees or various things and a certain amount of money on your bill. But ultimately, you'll get back to the electric usage. And so you can look on your electric bill per month, and there might be, they'll say, what's the meter reading before the beginning of the month, from the end of the last month, and then the end of this month. And they'll give you the dates. So your September bill might be from the 23rd of August to the 23rd or the 22nd of September or something like that, 2019. So it'll give you a month period, which they are using for reporting. And then there will be two numbers, the meter reading at the beginning and the meter reading at the end. And what does the meter read? It reads kilowatt hours. It's like a quantity of energy that you're using during that month, and that's what you're paying for. You're paying for they're called the power company, and so what you're measuring there is the power usage for that month. And so kilowatt hours is the metric. That's the measurement. So what does that mean? A kilowatt hour, a kilo means 1,000. So 1,000 watts. What is 1,000 watts? Well, let's take a light bulb, the old incandescent light bulbs, 100-watt light bulb. Okay, if you burn a 100-watt light bulb for 1 hour, that's 100 watt hours, or a tenth of a kilowatt hour. If you burn 10 100-watt light bulbs for 1 hour, all of them burning all of the time for 1 hour, 10 of them, that will be 1 kilowatt hour. The average home uses that much energy on average. Okay, so now if you run those same 10 100-watt light bulbs for 24 hours, that's 24 kilowatt hours of energy. And if you multiply that by 30 days in a month, some days have 31 days, some months have less. But what you're doing is using energy on a continual basis. And of course, in your house, you have refrigerators, you have laundry, you have lights, you have maybe a electric hot water heater, you have other appliances, toasters, microwave, whatever. But on average, it's the equivalent of running 10 100-watt light bulbs 24/7 for a month. And so at the end of the month, you turn up with 720 kilowatt hours of energy. The average household in the United States uses 1.3 kilowatt hours of energy on average every hour. And so that's like 13, not 10, but 13 100-watt light bulbs running 24/7 all the time. And if you do that, you end up with about 1,000 kilowatt hours per month. Now, let's say that your rate, this is another thing you'll see on your electric bill, you will see your rate at, it might be 0.1 or 0.091 or point, I just saw a customer bill the other day, it was 0.091, which means you're paying 9.1 cents per kilowatt hour. If you live in an island, you might be paying 20 or 30 cents, 0.3 or 0.2 per kilowatt hour, and that's in terms of dollars. So if it's 0.26, you're paying 26 cents per kilowatt hour. So you multiply those out. And let's just say the average, the national average, is about 10 cents per kilowatt hour. So you've used 1,000 kilowatt hours, you multiply that by 10 cents, 0.1, and you get $100. That's your electric bill. Okay, so this is just like a little primer on how to read your electric bill. Now, Mr. Salesman comes up to you and says, okay, now you can put solar panels on your house and reduce your electric bill. Well, it sounds like something for free, but it's not. So let me explain just some of the pricing here. Say you have solar panels installed, and say you have an array that's a 1,000-watt array. Okay? So that would seem that you could offset your electric usage, or let's put, I'm going to get back to this 1,000-watt light bulb scenario. Just to make it a round number. So I went up to the 1.3 kilowatts just to tell you what the average household in the United States was. But now I'm going to jump back to this nice round number of 1,000 watts. That's 100, that's 10 100-watt light bulbs running continuously 24/7 for the entire month. That gives you 720 kilowatt hours at 10 cents per kilowatt hour. Your electric bill would be $72. Okay, so anyway, now somebody tells you you can reduce your electric bill by putting solar panels on your roof. And you go, gee, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to reduce my electric bill, and some pay nothing. So they come along and they say, okay, put up 1,000, and I'm going to use round numbers again, 1,000-watt solar panel. This would turn out to be about 4 solar panels on your roof. And this is just to give you a rough idea of how much this is going to actually do for you. And then the cost. The installation cost right now for a solar panel on your commercial property is probably going to be, let's say, $300 per solar panel. So your cost is going to be around $1,200 to install the 400, the four solar panels, hook them into your electric grid system, buy the controller, everything else. So you're going to probably have a bill of about $2,000 to $3,000 to install these four solar panels by the time it's done. And an installer has to come out, you know, put them on, electrician to wire them into your system. So let's say $3,000. So the question is, how long is it going to take for those solar panels to start producing money for you? Okay, well, here's the clincher with solar panels. You're only going to get about 4 solar hours per day out of those solar panels, because even though the sun comes up in the morning and sets in the evening, those solar panels, the national average says that you're going to get about 4 solar hours per day. That means 100% output from those solar panels in a day, 4 hours out of the 24 hours. Okay, so that means per day you're going to get from those solar panels on average, and this is in a good area like Phoenix. If you live up in England or the northern states, forget it. You're going to get very little, and in the winter you're going to get almost nothing. So I'm picking a state for optimization like Arizona, where you got lots of sunny days. You're going to get 4 hours on average of energy out of those solar panels per day. So that's 1,000 watts in the solar panel times 4 hours. You're going to get 4 kilowatt hours per day. Okay? And now you're using 720 per month. You're using 720 kilowatt hours per month. So 4 times 30 is 120. So out of that pack of solar panels, you're going to offset your bill by just a smidgen. And so how long is it going to take you to make back the money that you, the $3,000 you put into that solar panel? Well, figure it out. So I'm going to do the math for you here and avoid some of the tedious calculation, but it's going to take you 21 years to pay back that solar panel. The $3,000 investment, it's going to take you 21 years. Well, here's another fun fact about solar panels. That would be if the solar panels worked at 100% capacity for those 21 years. But the reality is that after 10 years, right from the beginning, the solar panels begin to degrade. And after 10 years, they're only putting out 50% of that 1,000 watts. And so your contribution of production of electricity goes down to 50% after 10 years. So instead of 21 years, your payback is going to be about 32 years. So that's how fast you're going to be paid back by those solar panels that you put on your roof. Now, you could put more on there, and then you could, the average cost per solar panel would go down, but still you're looking at an investment that will never ever pay for itself. That's the problem, and people are being hoodwinked into this. People, especially, they're being promoted by the Central Power Company, is behind this, and why would they do that? Well, because it'll never compete against their bottom line. They're actually, it's a corrupt practice, and the payback is never going to be there, and it'll never compete against the bottom line. And now here's the final clincher. that the power company has the ability to send out a signal and turn off the contribution to your solar panels. Because on a nice sunny day in Southern California, the power company cannot control the amount of fluctuation in the solar panels that is coming in. So they simply turn them off. So there are people that after 6 months, 12 months, they're looking at their electric bill, looking for the savings that they were promised, and they call up the electric company and they say, we're not seeing any contribution from our solar panels to our electric bill. And the electric company says, yeah, we never turned them on. We have the ability to turn off your solar panels, and we've never turned them on. So here people have invested all this money, and okay, then you might say, well, let's put in batteries. Let's go totally off-grid. For you to offset your usage, if you're using 1,000 kilowatt hours or 1,000 watts of energy, those 100 watt light bulbs, the 10 of them that we're talking about, how much solar panel, what would be the investment to get you off the grid? Well, now you have another factor. It's called batteries. You have to add in the batteries. So just some quick calculations for you to get completely off grid with that amount of energy would run you probably, in most cases, it would cost more than the value of your house. That's how much money it would take to get you completely off grid. And then it would not, that would be enough to carry you through 1 or 2 days of rain. But if you had a storm come in and it rained for like a week or something like that, which is common, then you would be out of electricity after day 1.5 or day 2. And you would be sitting there until the sun came out and began to charge your batteries again. So solar does not work for going off grid. I mean, you can do it, but people that do it understand the limitations and the also the expense. When I went through these numbers 15 years ago, and I started understanding the corruption in the solar industry, I said, yeah, this stuff will never work. That wind is the only method of garnering power to replace power plants. Wind is the only method that'll work, and that's because the wind blows 24 hours a day. You get a wind contribution. Now, if you look at wind maps, we know that there are places in the United States that have tremendous wind all the time, all year long. Tremendous wind. And so my plan all along was to create big wing generators. Now let's just take a quick look at three-blade wind turbines. They simply don't work. And you don't have to listen to me. You can go to any wind park in existence, drive through it, and look and see how many of those things are actually turning. And the answer is there might be one or two, even on a windy day. I just got an email from a guy. He said he travels with his family between Phoenix and Southern California, going on Highway 10, you know, that's up in the mountains there. There's that massive field of three-blade wind generators. And he says even the kids say every time it's like a thing, they start to see them from long away. Distance away as you're coming over the hills, approaching from the Phoenix side, and they're never turning, ever. None of them. It's an investment, and the whole idea was to suck the money out of government for alternative energy, and now they want to do this on a scale of tens of trillions of dollars. Most of those are not turning because they are broken. And also they have a motor inside to get them started to even turn. As one of the unsung financial contributions of the three-blade wind turbines is how much energy are they actually using just to get those big 65-ton blades to move. The wing generator starts on its own. It does not need a motor to start it. So the point is, that alternative energy that's being presented to the public is a ruse. And the whole point was that this is being controlled by General Electric and Siemens, whose core industry is nuclear and coal power plants. So now you're going to see waves of people coming out saying, oh, alternative energy doesn't work, and that's happening right now. You'll see scores and scores of articles telling you how alternative energy doesn't work. That was part of the disinformation program from the beginning. When the public starts to wake up and it starts to come out that this stuff doesn't work, then come all of the articles. And this is all planted also. Because what are they not doing? As in typical disinformation style, the real solutions never get aired. I've been working with the Wing Generator now for probably about 15 years. Nobody in the political arena even has heard about it. Why do you think that is? Because they're being bombarded by complete disinformation, and now they're being told that alternative energy doesn't work, and so there's now a big political fight. The Green New Deal people who want to spend $10 trillion putting in alternative energy that doesn't work, and the people who are saying, like Trump, saying, hey, alternative energy doesn't work, we're not going to invest anything, we have to rely on traditional power. But nowhere is the real solution being allowed into any circles, whether it's in articles, whether it's in government programs, whether it's in investment, no matter where it is, you will never hear the real solution. And so this is, once again, guess who controls energy? It's the World Bank. Guess who is the police force of the World Bank? The CIA. Guess who invented the three-blade wind turbine? NASA. Wow, isn't that interesting? And then all of these companies, I had a friend of mine who's an engineer the other day, say, how could all of these engineers and companies and people work for GE and Siemens work for decades and never understand that what they're building doesn't work? I said, because they're getting a paycheck. They're not being paid to think. They're being paid to fill a position, and if they said something, they might be out of their position and walking down the street someplace, and some other guy would be taking their job. Anyway, that's the world we live in. By the way, visit my webpage. I mentioned this once again. I had good response this past week from people ordering water filters. Please keep that up, because if not, I'm going to hold off putting any of my products on Amazon, because people are stepping up to the plate and ordering my water filters. They're 15% off. The water filters, free shipping. I have my whole house water filters there, the MR5, MR7. So if you need water filters, or recommend it to other people, come to my webpage, purchase those. And that'll keep me from having to post my products on Amazon. Thank you. I appreciate that. So this is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. The webpage, jmccsci.com. We are at the crossroads. Good night.